Welcome to the May 2nd, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from Ward Page and is entitled, Even to the Gentiles. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to College Park. It's good to see you this morning. Good to be together for worship on this beautiful Sunday. Can you believe it's May? And today is going to feel like summer, so it is coming. It's good to have you here. I just want to use a couple of brief moments before we begin worship for some announcements and let you know what's going on, certain things in the church. First of all, there's a red rose right here celebrating the birth of Jeff and Jennifer Allen's son, Matthew Paul Allen, who was born on Tuesday night. And we just give great thanks for this beautiful baby boy who is healthy and doing well. And Jeff and Jennifer at home and doing great. And they wanted to send their greetings to you. So this is something great for them and for our church, and we certainly celebrate with them. Today is a big day for College Park. When you drove in this morning, you probably saw some smoke coming from the east side of the building over here, where barbecue's been cooking since last night. Today is a day of our spring fling, which we've been doing for several years. I don't even know how many, but the spring fling is today from 4 to 7. And this is a wonderful thing for families and children. There's going to be food. There are going to be inflatables, slides, and bouncy houses, and all kinds of things for the kids to play on. I don't even know everything that's happening this afternoon, but it's going to be great. You are welcome. Your neighbors are welcome. Your children and grandchildren are welcome. Feel free to invite someone today to come over. Everyone is welcome. We're going to have a big crowd, and that's what we want, and we're excited about that. So Spring Fling is this afternoon from 4 to 7. As part of the Spring Fling, the youth are doing a barbecue dinner to raise money for their summer mission activities, and in particular their mission trip to New York City this summer. The barbecue dinner is from 5 to 7. Many of you may have seen the youth selling tickets before. Those tickets are still available. You can buy a plate. You can buy barbecue by the pound if you'd like to. You can see a youth at the table down near the information desk as you leave church. You can find one of the youth after church to buy a ticket, or you can buy them at the door. Look at the rest of the information here. The tickets are $8 for adults and $6 for children. I believe children under the age of, six are free. And there's also a family maximum of $25 for the tickets if you're coming with a large family. A reminder to youth and youth parents, you need to be here at 2 o'clock to begin setting up. The committee, Family Ministry Council that's running this, wanted me to make two announcements about it. Number one, they still need some butcher block cutting boards and some chopping knives if anyone has some that they'd be willing to let them use for the evening. And also, they need some more desserts. Some people have signed up to bring desserts today. I know some have already been brought in this morning. Those need to be here at the church by 2 o'clock. So if you haven't signed up but would be willing to bring a dessert as part of the dinner tonight, that would be great. You don't need to sign up. Just come on and bring it and have it at the church at 2 o'clock. Did I cover all that, youth? Get everything? Okay. So, again, that's 5 to 7. Want to draw your attention to the opportunities for the rest of this week, which are printed on the back of your order of worship. Also, you'll see in the insert in your bulletin a flyer and an envelope for the North Carolina Baptist Hospital Mother's Day offering. Mother's Day is next Sunday, 1 week away, and this is a special offering that they do every year to help families in need. So please pay attention to that. Barbie.
Any of you who might be new to College Park may not know that we do a mission project every summer. We've done the same project for more than 20 years, and we get very excited about it. An advanced team went to Williamsburg, Kentucky this week and met the family that we will build a house for this summer. Those of you who are new, you might not know that this little church can mass together over 100 people and all the money needed, all the furniture needed, all the everything needed to completely build a house for a family and get it start to finish done in 4 days. Our youth go, our old people go, our middle people go, our every age people go. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship and bonding and a wonderful ministry to the family. The family that we're going to build the house for this summer is a mother with her 4 daughters. They are very excited about it. They're thrilled for us to be coming. They want to help us every day. They ask if they could. The little girl said, "Can I paint?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, you can paint. We'll give you a paintbrush and you can paint your room." So we are real excited about it. I'll try to get a bulletin board up this week with more information about it. But start thinking about how you can participate in our plans for the summer. Pray about it. Think about, should you donate money? Do you have some furniture? Should you bake cakes? Can you go? We need help in every area, and I'll get more specific about that as the weeks go on. But we have a great family this summer, and we will really enjoy being with them. They'll be good to spend some time with. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Barbie. One more note about the schedule today. Mary wanted me to announce that the only music group practicing today are the Sanctuary Bells. None of the other music groups, channels, or the youth choir, anyone else is practicing. Raymond sends his greetings. Raymond and a fairly large group from the church went down. One of the kids that grew up in this church, Mark Matthews, was married yesterday in Mississippi, and Raymond was down to take part in that. So he sends his greetings. And in Raymond's absence, we have a treat today that one of our own, Ward Page, is going to preach for us this morning. He's already done it one time this morning in the 9 o'clock service. Ward, we're glad to have you. Ward grew up at College Park. Graduated from Appalachian State. He's about to graduate from Wake Forest University Divinity School, and he's the youth minister at First Baptist in Kernersville and does a great job. And our church is very proud of Ward. Some of you may not know Ward, but you're going to get to see today some of the things that God is doing through him. Ward is going to be ordained here at College Park in just a couple of weeks, and we invite you all to that. That's Sunday afternoon, May the 23rd at 4 p.m. here in this room. Ward's going to be ordained, and that's going to be a great moment for Ward and for our church. So we're excited about having Ward today. I want to say a special word of welcome to our guests. Thank you for joining us today, and whatever brought you here today, we're glad you're here. You have I didn't mention this earlier. I'm going to get a demerit from Jeff, but there are pew pads located on the pews where you can sign and indicate your attendance today. So that's where you let us know you were here. This is where we let you know some more information about College Park. There's a letter from our pastor as well as a copy of our most recent newsletter, which includes some of the other information about our church and what's going on. But mainly we just want to let you know that we really appreciate you being here, and we hope that you'll find this a warm and friendly place. But as you come this morning at 11 o'clock, we mostly find that you hope that you find this to be a place of meaningful worship. So if you will, just hold up your hand just high enough that the ushers can see you. If you're here for the first time or would like some more information about College Park, we'd like to share a packet with you. And thank you for being with us today. I mentioned worship. Worship is why we are here. The spring fling is great. The barbecue is going to be good tonight. I hope you've had a nice weekend. The weather outside is great. But the reason that we come together on Sunday morning is to worship our Lord and to give Him our time and our energy and to be lifted up as we praise Him. Let us together join our hearts and minds for worship.
Lord, how good it is to be in this place this morning. Lord, to celebrate your love. Lord, a love that takes all kinds of people and brings them together. Lord, a love that sacrificed itself for us. Lord, a love that gives us fellowship. Lord, a love that gives grace. Lord, a love that gives us peace when it seems like there's none to be found. Lord, we know that Scripture says that when two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you are here. And so we welcome you here, for we know that you are love. And Lord, we offer ourselves to you in this hour. Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our mind. Join us together. Let us hear you. And let us go out and live as those who know your love. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture text for this morning includes scripture passage text from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Our Old Testament text is from Psalm 148. I'll be reading all of Psalm 148, and if you'd like to read along and you don't have your own personal Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. And from the New Testament, in John's Gospel, John chapter 13, Beginning in verse 31, we hear the words of Jesus. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now it is the Son of Man glorified, and God glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, it is a blessing to be in your house. It is a blessing to be gathered with friends and fellow believers and those who have joined today to worship you. Lord, as I pray on behalf of those of us gathered here in our church, I start by thanking you for today, Lord. Today is a blessing. It is a blessing to be in your house. It is a blessing to be here, to see others who love you, who care about you, who are interested in worshiping you, to see people whose lives you have impacted, to see faces that you are blessing on a daily basis, touching in significant ways through high points and low points of life and difficult challenges and everything that we deal with, Lord, because you were there for all of us, and we thank you. Lord, for the opportunity as a church to worship you, to come together to do mission projects, to hopefully be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ at Polo and Rinalda and in Winston-Salem and in Kentucky and in so many other places, Lord. We thank you. Lord, as a church, we look for your direction. We do want to be the church that represents Jesus Christ. We do want to be a church that does what you have called us to do. Lord, on this day, Lord, help us to be a church who reaches out to our community. And tonight, Lord, please use this spring fling and dinner. Help it, use it to for us to be able to reach out to others and encourage families, encourage our neighbors and friends here in the community in any way that we can. Lord, as we go through this week, help us to keep the spirit of worship with us, the spirit of giving, the spirit of ministry that you're sharing with us today. Lord, for all the great things you're doing to our people and among our people, I thank you. I thank you for being with the people who don't feel well. Some who came today, even though they really didn't feel up to it. Others who aren't able to be here with us today because of physical struggles and difficult challenges, we lift them up to you. We know that you are the great physician and that you are bigger than any illness or any circumstance that may affect us. Lord, for these babies that have joined us recently and the joy of new birth, we thank you. We thank you for Jeff and Jennifer, and we lift them up to you. Help them to be the kind of parents that you would have them to be for Matthew. Thank you for this child of our church and the other children that mean so much to us, Lord. Help us to take care of these children, to teach them and train them and to be their church family, to help them to know you and to help them find their place in this world as they learn over time who you created them to be. Lord, thank you for those of us who are struggling, who are experiencing great joy in our lives, whatever may be going on right now. Lord, we know that you know what's going on, that you are aware that you are with us. You have promised that you will be with us, that you will love us. And we cling to that promise because we need you, Lord, today and every day. Lord, for the blessings of today, for the opportunity of worship, for the opportunity to come to you in prayer, to lift up our brothers and sisters, to lift up our needs, and to praise you and thank you for the joys and all the blessings of our lives. We thank you and we praise you, and it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
The image we often see of Jesus and hear about is he's the fisherman of men. And looking at a bobbin floats in the water, but when it goes down, we know there's a good story to come because there's a fish on the other end. The faster it goes down and the harder it tugs, the greater the trophy, the greater the story it will be. Well, we remember that most with the prodigal son. What a great story. As that bobbin went down and raced and that son left, what a great trophy. What a great story for a son to return home. What a great offering our Lord has by giving of the love to make a place for him to come home, to be welcome home. The greatest offering and the gift we can give God is our love, our obedience, and our desire to come home. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your love that never ends. Father, we thank you for your love that's just always in our life, the hand that's always there. Lord, we ask you to accept the offerings and the gifts we bring back, the first fruits of our work that you so generously provided to us. And Lord, we ask you to be with each person here today, to work in their lives, to feel your presence for the healing, the recreation of our days to come, and to be that son that comes home, come home to you. And these things we pray in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It is good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be back here. As Jason said, I'm serving at First Baptist Church of Kernersville, and I guess I should tell you they're treating me well. They're treating me very well. There's good people there, and I'm really enjoying myself. But I appreciate this opportunity to come back among you this morning to say a few words in Raymond's absence. I want to take just a moment, if you will indulge me, for the men. I just want to speak to you men for a second. If you would, guys, stand up. Don't be shy. Go ahead. All right. Now I'd like for you to take your right hand and raise it, thus. Now take your left hand and cross your fingers and put it behind your back. Now I'm going to lead you in a pledge, and you're going to repeat after me. And don't be shy. We're all going to do this together. So just humor me, okay? Loud and clear. Let's hear you. Repeat after me. I state your name. Never fails. A member in good standing of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Do solemnly swear to hate women and not play with them or talk to them. A lot of you guys are sort of trailing off now. Come on. Unless I have to. And especially, never to fall in love. And if I do, may I die slowly and painfully and suffer for hours or until I scream bloody murder. Thank you, man. You may be seated. Ladies, I apologize for the very juvenile demonstration. We did have our fingers crossed. I think Jesus told us not to swear oaths and let our yes be yes and our no be no. But, you know, in reality, I think all of us here know that when the guys know that when our women tell us to do something, we say yes. So, you know, forgive us for that. But the reason I had us do that demonstration is because since the beginning of time, human beings have grouped themselves into groups based on similar characteristics or shared experiences or maybe like interests. And through this phenomenon, we've formed civilizations and cities, cultures and communities, governments and guilds, corporations and companies, associations and alliances, fraternities, sororities, secret societies, political parties, civic organizations, private schools, gangs, cliques, book clubs, garage bands, online chat rooms and discussion forums, and of course, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Now, these groups are defined by what makes their members similar. The He-Man Woman Haters Club, for instance, they have a equal passion for loathing of the opposite sex. And as misguided, I'm sure, as that is, these groups are also defined by what makes everyone else different. Churches operate much the same way. We are fellowships of individuals, and we all share a similar set of religious beliefs. More than that, we seek out specific congregations in which we can feel loved or valued or useful. We can feel welcomed. We want to belong. We want to know that we can get compassion and encouragement. We want to be with the people who nourish us. In short, we want to be, this is a measurable fact, we want to be like around people who are like us. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a basic human need. There's no harm in finding a niche for ourselves among like-minded believers. And the scriptures encourage us to do just that. But at the same time, we're called to be much more than that. We are the recipients of a matchless grace. And so we're challenged to extend that grace to the ones that still search for that sense of belonging that we found here. Even among churches, welcoming just anyone into the fold is not always the most popular idea. And such is the case in our scripture reading this morning. If you would, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 11. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 18. And I invite you to follow along as I read. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So Peter went up to Jerusalem the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At the very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given, even to the Gentiles, the repentance that leads to life." Peter had just returned to Jerusalem, but he wasn't in time to beat the rumors. "Hey, did you hear about Peter? I heard he ate with some Gentiles up in Caesarea." "Yeah, well, I heard they weren't just Gentiles. They were those Roman devils, the ungodly oppressors, the unclean overseers, the ones who are just condemning us. Well, I heard that he also baptized one of the Roman officers and his whole household. Oh, the blasphemy. Oh, the scandal." Such might have been some of the comments and the rumors that circulated among the Jewish Christians, the so-called Church of Jerusalem. But when Peter came back into their midst, this church confronted him. "Why did you eat, Peter, with these uncircumcised men?" In order to more fully understand Peter's response that we just read, it helps if we turn back to Acts chapter 10 for a little bit more detail. The narrative tells us of a story of a man called Cornelius, who is the commander of the Italian cohort stationed there in Caesarea. The scripture says about Cornelius, "He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3:00, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' He stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' He answered, 'Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside.'" Okay, so if you're taking notes, there's a few important things to notice in these few verses. Number one, Cornelius was a Gentile, and yet he feared God. He feared Yahweh, the same God of the Jews. His allegiance to God was evident through his prayer and his good works. And despite the fact that his pedigree was less than kosher, God still acknowledged Cornelius' offerings by sending an angel to him that called him by name. Number two, you need to notice that Peter is staying with a man also named Simon. But Simon was a tanner. And I don't know how much you know about tanning. But it's not the kind where you go and pay and you sit in the fake and bake thing for a while. That's not it. Tanning is a delightful process of turning animal skins into leather. And the leather can be used for all sorts of things like belts and sandals, something that everyone wore back then. You could make wineskins or other food or beverage containers. You could trick out your chariot. You could, you know, cover your lazy boy. You could decorate your musical instruments and even your own sarcophagus. There's lots of stuff you can do. And people benefited from their services. These guys were in demand. But as necessary as tanners were to the ancient society, they made their living by being unclean. That's right. They had their hands in all kinds of animal carcasses all day. And if you remember from your readings in Leviticus 11, that's a cause for defilement. That makes one unclean to handle dead animals. Not only that, though, this I'm sure you wanted to know. Tanners would use animal feces to strip the hides of the excess fur and the clinging particles. Isn't that nice? They mucked about in filth all day, and they breathed in these nauseating fumes all day. In short, growing up to be a tanner was not exactly every little boy's dream. But this is important because here we have two instances where the pure mingles with the profane, with the impure. First instance, the angel of God appears to the Gentile, to a Roman Gentile who is oppressing the Jews, God's people. Secondly, Peter is staying with Septic Simon, the purveyor of putrescent pelts. Say that five times fast. And just like Cornelius, Peter had a vision of his own. The scripture says, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanting something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. This vision provides us with the third instance in which clean and unclean become a little bit more ambiguous. Go back again to Leviticus chapter 11. But first, imagine, if you will, this giant picnic blanket being lowered to the ground, and upon it is everything that a good Jew is not allowed to eat. How do we know? Leviticus chapter 11. It lists off everything that the Israelites were allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. Among these, four-footed animals that walked on paws, as opposed to the animals that walked on cloven hooves. So this includes dogs, cats, orangutans, other such random things that don't have hooves. So we can't eat those. Also, we can't eat reptiles. No crocodiles or snakes or anything like that. I'm sure you're just waiting for lunch at this point. Also, you can't eat birds of the air. There's various kinds of birds, hens and hawks and birds of prey that you're just not allowed to touch. So, you know, all of these are all forbidden. And these are exactly the kind of animals that appear in Peter's vision. So, naturally, Peter, being a good Jew, has also been reading his Bible. So he says, by no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean. But the voice replies, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. What God has made clean. This reminds us of one of the confrontations between Jesus and the Pharisees you can find in Mark chapter 7. Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees for clinging to what he calls human traditions and not obeying the commandment of God, that commandment being to love God and to love people. Jesus takes advantage of the crowds and he offers a riddle. He says, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. As usual, the disciples, they don't understand at first. So Jesus explains directly to them, do you not see whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer? And here we have Jesus' attempt at toilet humor. You know, if it comes in, it's not bad. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, it is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they are what defiles a person. Clearly, Peter has forgotten this lesson because his vision, like Jesus' riddle, only serves to confuse him. Fortunately, Cornelius' messengers arrive to provide a little clarity. And from there on, we know the rest from the scripture we just read. Peter left the stinging smells of the tannery and he entered into the house of the Roman Gentile, moving from one unclean place to another. They share their stories, and Peter's words here are just beautiful. He says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Cornelius and his house are baptized right away, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, which is recognized by the believers who follow Peter to Caesarea. These are the same ones who are the ones who tell the Jewish Christians there, and they're the ones who start the rumors. But for Peter, he realizes that the meaning of his vision is that God has now opened up the gospel to all people and all nations. Fast forward to Jerusalem. Peter has just relayed this incredible story to his fellowship, who at first stares at him in shocked silence. This was Peter, after all. He was the chief disciple, the one to whom Jesus entrusted the very gates of heaven. And he stood before them an unclean man with a righteous fervor. He asks the church, if then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Who are we to hinder God? Some of you may be sitting there thinking how wonderful it is to be a Gentile, because we're the ones that got included, right? At first we weren't included, but now we are. But I think in this day and age, the roles may be reversed. It's all too frequent occurrence when people are turned away from churches because they're a little different. Maybe their skin's a different shade. Maybe they don't wear the right clothes. Maybe they're a different age. Maybe they don't make enough money. We must ask ourselves, each of us, who are my Gentiles? And I'm not speaking to the church. I mean, churches always advertise inclusiveness. Everyone is welcome. Everyone come in. But the individuals inside. Who are my Gentiles? Who are the ones that for some reason I don't want to associate with, especially not when I'm worshiping? Who do we close our doors to? I know that there are members of this congregation of African descent, Asian descent, Latin American, as well as European descent. We have teachers and doctors, and lawyers, builders, and businessmen and women. There are Republicans and Democrats. Theologically, there are conservatives and liberals. There are Duke and Carolina fans in the same room. But we're under the same roof here because we are called to transcend what makes us different. Because we're not different. There's a beautiful quote by Emma Lazarus from her poem entitled The New Colossus, which is emblazoned across the base of the Statue of Liberty. In a time when millions of people, perhaps some of our own ancestors, were flocking to America, asking, you know, risking everything to escape oppression, and to feel a sense of belonging. What better words could have greeted them? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses longing to be free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. These same sentiments are preached every day by the church, but oftentimes they are failed to be put into action by the individuals within. And if God could tolerate someone like us, someone full of selfishness and sin, hypocrisy, then we have to do the same for the people who seek their own freedom. There are many out there who, like Cornelius, are searching for God's path. All they need is someone to show them the way. Entering through these doors, is an intimidating experience. We have to honor the courage of the seeker with welcoming arms and with opportunities of ministry. Before we can do that, though, we have to shed our preconceptions about what is pure and impure, who belongs and who doesn't belong. We have to spend a night in the tannery to see the heavens opened up. We have to know that grace is for everyone, even, especially, for the Gentiles. Let us pray. God, I thank you for all who have come this morning and the differences in all of us. We praise you for your diversity. We praise you that you have created a beautiful and varied creation. We ask you now to help us forget about what disunites us, what tears us apart. Because every one of us is separated from you by our sin. We ask now that you help us remember the grace that was extended to us by giving us opportunities to extend that same grace to the people who need it. There are many people who seek out our doors. And God, so many of them leave. They don't come back because they fail to see you at work here. Help us tear down our walls. Help us open our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the love that you've given us. And we pray that you give us the purpose to show it to others, to show it to everyone. We love you, God, and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If something is leading you to respond this morning, the altar is open. Perhaps something is on your heart that you wish to talk about. There are those up here who you can come to. If God is leading you to make a decision in your life, perhaps you want to join this church, perhaps you want to make a profession of faith, whatever that may be, you are welcome here. You're welcome at the cross. And so now, as we stand and sing together, hymn number 596, "Go Forth and Tell, O Church," we invite you now to respond as we stand. morning for your presence and your attentiveness. We'll just take a moment to recognize our guest musicians this morning. Y'all did a wonderful job from Rhode Island. We're presenting at the Dulcimer Festival this weekend. Thank you. It was beautiful. And a benediction is often a time to say, go forth and tell, as the hymn did. But also, I want you to remember to open up and let in. Let us pray together. Blessed God, again, thank you for this morning that we can come together in worship regardless of color and creed. And we are just united in voice and mind and heart by the knowledge that you have endured the cross for us. We thank you, God. We thank you for the people. We pray that we be a light to them. In your name.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.